Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed, and he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Pray with me. A great and powerful Lord, we thank you for your word. God, your word is living and active. May we come to it with that heart, expecting to find life, expecting activity in us to transform us from the inside out. And do that now, God. Do that. Transform us from the inside out. And be glorified as we come to know you more and more. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the first serious books that I ever read was Tolkien's book, The Hobbit. I loved it. It was exhilarating. There was great fight scenes. There was a hero. And there was wonderful climaxes. There was suspense. And then one day I was at the library and I saw a video, The Hobbit. And I was excited to get this little cartoon movie home and watch it, thinking that this is going to be what I read in the book. This is going to be exciting and this is going to be wonderful. And I go home and I put the little cartoon in and I watch it. It was nothing like what I expected. You see, this was someone's interpretation of the book, and it was designed for little kids. And it didn't have the drama that I was looking for, the excitement that I was looking for. It fell completely short. It was a watered-down version of a great story. Do you know that in our culture now, we're not dealing with the original God and the true God in a lot of circumstances? But we've got a watered-down Jesus that we're dealing with. We're dealing with a cartoon version of the true Lord. And many people throw Jesus aside because that's all they've been given. And that's all they've known. In our minds, in our lives, and as we interpret Jesus, sadly, a lot of times, we're coming up with our own version of God. And as we saw in Exodus chapter 32, when the people wanted to build their own version of God, he hated it. Because there is one true God, and there is one way that we're to see Jesus, and one way that we are to know him. So the call this morning is for you to respond to the true risen Lord with faith, love, and worship. First, you'll have to examine your view of Christ. And the way that you know how you see something, and the way that you know how you really respect something, is how you respond to it. If you say that you love someone, but you don't treat them in a loving way, do you really love them? If you say that you respect something or fear something, but you don't respond in a fearful way, do you really fear it? Christ said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Do we really keep his commands? If he calls on you to put others first, to to love others more than yourself, and to love Him, which would be to keep His commands perfectly. You see, if you know God, there is supposed to be this obedience, there is to be this awe, there is to be this marveling, and there is to be this worship. A life of worship. Worshiping Him here in the assembly, as He calls us to. Worshiping Him in the context of our families. Actually reading the Bible as families. Actually singing the Psalms as families. This is how we're to respond. So we have to ask, do we know the real Jesus? Do you know the real Jesus? Do you respond to Him as if you knew Him? If not, we're simply making a golden calf and calling it Jesus. In that scripture in Exodus 32, they said, "Let us arise and tomorrow we'll have a feast to the Lord." And they actually used the covenant name of God, saying that they are going to worship the true God, but it wasn't Him. See, we have a cartoon Jesus. And it's tragic. We have Easter. And what is Easter? Well, it is to... My son raised his hand. It is to be the worship of the risen Lord. But when we have our dinners this afternoon, is it about the risen Lord? When we have our pretty flowers, are they about the risen Lord? When we have our chocolate bunnies and our marshmallow peeps, is it really about the risen Lord? Or are we making something new? Are we creating something and interpreting Jesus in a way that He never said, interpret me? In a way He never said, worship me and honor me? Examine your view of Christ now by the way that you respond to Him. Now, I call on you to respond to this Jesus who is God. We all like to make comfortable things. And we all want to arrange the things in exactly the way that we like them for ourselves. When we had a dinner at the Presbytery, they put this meal together and I had a little bit of everything. And then when I sat down to eat it, I tried the peas and there was a bunch of rosemary on it. And I ate a bunch of rosemary. So I didn't eat it. I didn't finish it. I didn't have my peas. So I took this meal and I made it just exactly what I wanted it to be and didn't take what I would have made my kids eat to go ahead and arrange things for my own comfort. A lot of us are like that with our coffee. Just enough cream, just enough sugar, or just the right beans. And we're doing that with our faith. We're doing that with our Lord. We're just taking the parts that we like and arranging our faith around these things. We want a Jesus that's an Easter card, a nice painting on the wall. We want a Jesus that we're comfortable with. But you can't make that. You can't do it and worship the true Lord. Now, who is He? In John 5:18, Jesus is accosted by the Jews. And they say, because He is making Himself equal to God. We're dealing with the Jesus who was perfect and made Himself out to be equal with God. We're dealing with the Jesus in John 4:19 who said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Saying, here I am. I am God. In Colossians 2:9, it says, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. The fullness of God is in Christ. Jesus Christ is God. In 2 Timothy 1:10, but now it has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, we want this Jesus and we want to pretend like He's a kitten. He's a lion. He's mighty. He is powerful. And in light of that, and in light of Christ being God, I will call upon you to believe in a risen Lord who will indeed judge. In Acts 17:31, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man, that is Jesus Christ, whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. Why would Christ judge? Why would Jesus judge? I talk to so many people who are just quick to push those peas aside and say, I don't believe in a God who would judge. I don't think God does judge, they say. The Lord makes it clear. He will. He will judge. And the reason is, He made everything perfect. He made everything beautiful. He gave mankind everything that they need. And we rejected it. We've turned away from it. Why is there pain? Why is there suffering? Because we chose to live as if we were God. Making our own meal. Choosing our cream, our sugar, and our coffee and the exact beans that we want. Rather than submitting to the Word of God and His truth. And because of that, the wrath of God hung over all mankind and hangs over each of us that do not receive the sacrifice of Christ. And I want to explain that now. The sacrifice of Christ, what was that? Why was He dead? Why did He need to rise from the grave? Because God took pity on us. Because God pitied you. And instead of His wrath and hatred being poured out on every single person in the world, in judgment, Christ came to the earth and said, punish me for all those who will come to me. All those who will put their trust in me. And that was what the cross was about. That's what His death was about. It was about Christ's love for you. God making the way to save you and rescue you. Such a great cost. And now, why would He judge? Well, He will judge because there are those among us who do not accept the Son, who do not accept this sacrifice. And they push Him aside. So you hear, if you hear His word today, do not harden your heart. Know that you are a sinner. Know that you need saved. And plead with Christ to save you. Cling to this mighty Savior. Deuteronomy 13:4, it says, you shall follow the Lord. Command. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear Him. And you shall keep His commandments. Listen to His voice. Serve Him and cling to Him. Cling to Him. There was a... I'll start this off this way. Once upon a time, it's a true story. A scout troop was hiking through the woods. And it had rained pretty severely and they were down in a deep valley. And they got to the place where there's this creek and it was raging. It was moving swift. It was over 10 feet across. And all these little Boy Scouts look at it like, how are we going to get across there? Well, the scoutmaster walks across, throws his bag down, walks back over, and grabs one of the Boy Scouts in a fireman's carry. Grabs his arm, dips down, picks the boy up, and he steps down into the water. And the water is rushing and splashing against his hips. And he walks and he carries this little kid all the way across the creek. Now, this kid, because he's face down, is looking at the water. And he's seeing it rushing by. And he's holding on to that scoutmaster. Because he did not want to be swept away. You see, we need to cling to Christ with this kind of zeal. The storms of this life is that water that's rushing. It is that water that is a threat. And your Christ is the one that carries you. And the purpose of these storms is so that you will hold on to Him. It is so that you will cling to Him. And your relationship is made ever the stronger as you rely on this mighty God. Romans 4:25. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. He was raised to save you. He was raised for your justification so that you would no longer be guilty before God. You're never going to get good enough. You're never going to get good enough so that you will be innocent before God. You will try and you will try and you will try. Prayerfully, you will keep trying. But it is only by clinging to Christ and His perfection and trusting in His perfection and His sacrifice that you are rescued. Now, with that being said, I'm going to go to 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You are called to a living hope. A living hope. This is something that will never be destroyed, something that will never go away. Have you ever seen someone that was completely undone because their hope was in a person, someone else? And when that was going to be taken away, they were undone. There was nothing to cling to. See, other people cannot be your hope. No one else can be your salvation. No one else can be your rescue. At one point in my family and I, we lived by a creek, and I got a hold of some barrels and I decided to make a boat to go down this creek. And I didn't do a great job. We cut down trees that were just like that big around, and we got these poles and we lashed them together and we lashed them to these three barrels and we put it in the creek and we hopped in. Whew, it went. But when you move this way, it sunk down and it bobbed down. And this way, and it sunk down and it bobbed down. And I didn't use proper ropes, so my lashings were always coming loose. And I had my son Nathaniel with me, and my wife's watching from the shore, afraid of what's going to happen to the little boy as we go down. You see, that was not a secure hope. That was nothing steadfast to hold on to. And if you take that spindly little boat made out of sticks and bad rope and compare it to maybe going down the Ohio River on a barge, you have something of what it's kind of like to be secure in Christ. Do you need that hope? Do you need that? I know that I do. I need that security. I need someone that steadfast. And even that illustration falls short because a barge can be sunk. But the Lord Jesus Christ, although He was sunk once, came back, never to be sunk again. He overcame death. Death is beaten. Death is destroyed. Death is conquered. And although we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. See, this is the true risen Lord that we cling to. This is the true risen Lord that we hope in. Not a little Easter card. But a God that reigns. The King of heaven and earth. The one who conquered death. The one who is our hope and is our salvation. As you need this, know that others need it too. We want to help people. I know you. I know that you do. But what help do you have to offer if you don't give them this risen Lord? They're still just going down that creek on that spindly raft. It bobs this way and that. If you give them anything, without the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in light of all that He has done, and in light of who He is, I will call upon you to give Him His due. Ephesians 1:18 through 23. And I pray this for you now, even as I read it. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. These are in accord with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That is your Christ. That is your God. Above all. It says, and He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Do you need filled? Do you need filled? Do you need this hope? Do you need this steadfast rock? We all do. None of you are complete. All of you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know Him, you already know how sweet He is. You've already entered into His rest. You already call Him Lord. Well, I call upon you to rejoice in Him as Lord. I call upon you to worship Him, to praise Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. If you don't know Him, you will know Him as Judge. If you do not know Him as Savior, I plead with you again, do not harden your heart if you hear His voice. Cling to Him. I was saying how to give Him His due. What does that mean? Well, I loaned a man a book, and he took the book and he said, I'm going to get this back to you. I do that. And he was adamant about it, that I should get that book back. Why? Because it was my book. I gave somebody a ride out of my way, and so they wanted to give me gas money. They were being polite, so I took the gas money. They thought it was my due. Well, what if someone laid their life down for you? What should you give them then? What would be their due? To give your life to them. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for you. And I call upon you to joyfully give your life to Him. It's not a burden. He says, take my yoke upon you, for it is light and it is easy to bear. Because He's mighty and powerful and has loved you. Give your life to Christ. Day after day, again and again. And rejoice in the true risen Lord. Pray with me. Our God in heaven, forgive us. Forgive us for making idols. Forgive us of making idols out of our stuff. For making idols out of ourselves. For making idols out of other people. And loving them more than you. God, impress upon us. Christ, impress upon us who you really are, so that we will truly worship and serve the true Christ, the true God of heaven and earth. And God, be glorified in it. Be glorified as we love you more and more, as we serve you more and more, as we worship you more and more, as our risen Lord, who died and rose for our justification, because you have loved us so very much. It is in Jesus' name we pray.